Hi, and welcome to the Materials Today podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Bland. Thanks for joining us again. This week we spoke to Dr. Andrea Ferrari from Cambridge University about his work on carbon nanomaterials and Raman spectroscopy.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for joining us on the show today. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So let's jump straight in. Can you start by introducing yourself and your group and telling us about your background?
Yes, I am. I work at the University of Cambridge at the Department of Engineering and at the Nanoscience Center, and I lead the Nanomaterials and Spectroscopy Group. And our work covers graphene, carbon nanotubes, and nanowires, as well as devices and spectroscopic characterization of these materials.
That's fantastic, thank you. So, as you say there, a lot of your work on nanomaterials has been on graphene, and you've recently developed a mode-locked graphene laser. Can you tell us about this device and the significance of using graphene?
Mode locking is a technique to generate ultra-fast laser pulses. Ultra-fast laser pulses are used in a variety of applications ranging from telecommunications to data transmission to micro-machining to eye surgery and laser surgery in general to detection of pollutants in the atmosphere and similar applications, and also of toxic and explosive materials. And in order to generate ultra-fast pulses, there are different techniques, and one technique is called mode locking. And there are different ways of achieving mode locking, and the easiest one is called passive mode locking. Passive because you don't need to apply any external impulse to the device, but the material properties itself are enough to modulate the signal and generate these very sharp pulses. So you need materials with very good nonlinear optical properties, and then if you want very fast pulses, you need materials that are fast themselves, so they are able to recover the excited to the ground state very quickly. Usually, this is achieved using semiconductors. And as everybody knows, semiconductors have a well-defined band gap. This means that they will work at a wavelength corresponding to their band gap. However, if you want to have a laser that works at the wavelength of your choice, that does not correspond to a specific band gap already existing in nature, the only thing you can do with semiconductors is to design what is called a quantum well. So you need to confine the electrons so to change the position of the and the amount of the band gap. And in this case, you can match any wavelength you want. This is a very complicated process. It requires molecular beam epitaxy. It requires designing the quantum well. And on the top of this, usual semiconductors are kind of slow, so they are not ultra-fast in the recovery time. So other tricks have to be applied, such as the use of implantation or low-temperature growth. And maybe after you've done all this work and your laser works, at 1567 nanometers, somebody else comes there and he says, oh, I want a laser that works at 1600 nanometers, and you have to start all over again. Graphene is exceptional because of the linear dispersion of the electrons. It means that for any wavelength you want, any energy you want, there is always an electron-hole pair that goes in resonance. So you just take a piece of graphene, and unlike any other material, you are able to work at absolutely any wavelength you want, from the deep UV to the far infrared. And this is a really unique property. On the top of it, graphene is also extremely quick. The electrons in the excited state very, very quickly thermalize back to the ground state, and so is in principle very useful for ultra-fast applications. And finally, you can make graphene with simple ways. You don't need molecular beam epitaxy. In fact, what we have utilized is graphene polymer composite, so we just put graphene within a polymer, and this is enough to create a photonic device. So this allows us to create a variety of lasers with pulses below 200 femtoseconds, down to 100 femtoseconds, and work in any wavelength we want. And this is really unique.
Now, you also work a lot with Raman spectroscopy. Can you remind us what Raman spectroscopy is and tell us about how you use this technique in your work?
Raman spectroscopy is the inelastic scattering of photons by phonons. So light is composed of photons. Light is incident on a sample, on a piece of material, and it scatters with the vibrations of these materials. And if you take the differences in energy between the light that goes in and the one that comes out, this gives you the energy of the vibrations. So by this technique, you can characterize the vibrations in a sample. In first approximation, this is kind of similar to infrared absorption. However, in the case of Raman, and especially in carbon materials, you not only consider the vibrations per se, but this vibration, the energy you measure, is modulated by the interaction between the electrons and the phonons in the sample. So Raman is also a probe of the electronic properties of the material, which is very useful because you don't just probe the structure of the material, because, for example, a piece of graphene is a piece of graphene, and so if you would just probe its structure, it would be always the same, the Raman spectrum. But in the case of graphene and also other carbon materials, such as carbon nanotubes and so on, you can probe the electronic properties. So you can tell, in the case of carbon nanotube, the band gap of the nanotube, of the chirality of the nanotube, the amount of doping. And in the case of graphene, you can measure, again, the amount of doping, the number of layers, the presence of strain, and all this sort of extra information that it would be extremely complicated to get by other techniques.
That's excellent. Thank you. Now, you've recently published a paper on using Raman spectroscopy measurements on graphene to produce a universal stress sensor. Can you tell us a little about this and the possible applications?
Yes, we have in fact published several papers on this subject, and the latest one is a culmination of a work that lasted 2 or 3 years. And we basically have shown that the Raman spectrum of graphene, of the vibrations of graphene, are extremely sensitive to strain. So by applying strain to graphene, the position of the Raman peaks will change. So by monitoring the Raman peaks, you can tell the amount of strain in the graphene and also the direction of the strain, and also if the strain is uniaxial or biaxial or a mixture of the two. So it's actually quite useful to characterize the material. On the top of it, we have also shown that the relationship between stress, strain, and the position of the Raman peaks can be understood in any carbon material, not only graphene, but also carbon nanotubes, carbon fibers, and so on and so forth, once we understand the basic relationship in graphene, since graphene is the basic building block for any other carbon materials. So in our latest paper, we basically show a general relationship that applies to any carbon material and allows us to understand what stress does to the material. The application would be the following. For example, if you think about airplanes, The tendency now is to put carbon into polymers and into composites and use composite frames or carbon fiber or base frames for these new airplanes in order to reduce the weight. So the introduction of carbon helps in strengthening the composite, but on the other end, the fact that we have this universal stress tensor, it means that we could use the carbon itself or the graphene itself to monitor the stress state in your material. So you could think in principle of a device mounted directly on the wings or on the frame of an airplane that tells immediately what is the amount of strain that the scaffolding is subjected to. So this could be very useful.
So what other applications do you envisage we might soon see that take advantage of graphene?
I think the closest to market applications are the ones that consider the graphene properties as transparent conductors. So most conductors are not transparent, and most transparent materials are not conducting. So for example, glass is transparent but is not conductive, and a piece of metal is conducting but is not transparent. A few materials combine these properties, such as indium tin oxide. However, in the case of indium tin oxide, the price of indium is rising, the supply is not uniformly distributed, there are political issues with it, and overall is brittle if you bend it very much. So if you want to have a material that is ideal for flexible, bendable, and transparent electronics, graphene is the ideal material. because it has the highest conductivity combined with the highest transparency and can definitely beat the best materials utilized at the moment. So I think that, as was shown by Samsung and SKKU in 2010, you can already at the moment produce prototype touch screens based on graphene. And we also have produced prototype screens for mobile phone and also what they're called smart windows. Smart windows are basically a sandwich between two transparent conductors where you put liquid crystals in the middle, and by applying a voltage you can let light through or not through. So this can be used for privacy application or if you pattern it as a screen or display for billboard advertisement and so on. So I think here we are very close. I mean, the prototypes are already working very well, and so probably it's almost the time for industry to consider the development of the product and obviously work on the cost in order to make sure that the old procedure is compatible or even better than the standard ones.
That's fantastic. Thank you. So can you tell us what we can look forward to in your talk at the Diamond Conference?
In the Diamond Conference, it's been a few years since I've given an invited talk at Diamond. So what I want to do is two things. One, to overview the state of the art in Raman spectroscopy of graphene and show how this can be linked to spectroscopy investigation in diamond, nano-diamond, and diamond-like carbons. So I want to give an overall picture and a unified picture for all these approaches. And the second thing, I would like to give some examples of applications, as we mentioned before, these ultra-fast lasers, smart windows, and displays, and in general, graphene for photonics applications.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you. So finally, in your opinion, what are the hot topics in nanomaterials and spectroscopy right now?
I think the hot topic is to combine nanomaterials and spectroscopy in what is called plasmonics or metamaterials. So a very hot topic at the moment is to combine metal particles or nanoparticles that are able to modify the incident electric field with nanomaterials such as graphene to create new devices and new properties that will not be feasible with the individual materials. And the other topic of interest is to take not only graphene as a two-dimensional material, but there are a variety of other two-dimensional layered materials such as MOS2, boron nitride, and several chalcogenides that you can exfoliate and you can remove single layers from them. So by combining all of these materials, you can create some artificial structure that are not existing in nature and may have completely new and exciting properties.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye.
That was Dr. Andrea Ferrari from Cambridge University. If you'd like to hear more about Andrea's work, be sure to visit his presentation at the Diamond 2011 conference. We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to send us any questions, comments or suggestions, then you can do so by emailing us at materialstoday@elsevier.com. Alternatively, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/elsevier.materials or on Twitter @materialstoday. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.